Listening Test 4, Part 2. You will hear a man called André Larocque talking about a luxury railway journey in Canada. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at Part 2.
At the height of its popularity in the 19th century, the Royal Canadian Pacific was sometimes described as the most beautiful railway route in the world. But during the 20th century, it had declined to the point where passenger trains no longer ran along its 20,000 kilometers of lines. Then, in 2000, a 1,000-kilometer passenger service started again. And this was the one I traveled on in my own private sleeping compartment, sharing a coach with 15 other people. The 4-day journey began and ended in Calgary, the largest city in Alberta, and one that has received international praise for being a pleasant place to live. The Economist magazine recently placed it equal 5th in a list of the world's top cities to live in, while, according to another study that looked at which is the cleanest, it came top. It is located close to the Rocky Mountains, which are crossed at 2 different points by the railway line. At various points along the route, the peaks rise over a kilometer straight up from the line, so although they aren't as tall as those in the US, they're so steep that their appearance is breathtaking. Scenes of trains winding their way through beautiful green valleys next to spectacular snow-covered peaks are, of course, often associated with Canada, especially in films. And the Canadian Pacific has become known throughout the world as a result of images of it appearing on the nation's stamps. So it was with some excitement that I boarded the train that morning, and immediately I was impressed by the luxury of the accommodation. It was like stepping back into another age, apart from the fact that each of the 8 coaches had air conditioning. The weather there in August was hot, so that was a welcome feature, as was the fact that I'd have a shower to myself. The furniture was old, but of extremely high quality, and the chairs and beds were highly comfortable. The meals, naturally, were superb, and were always prepared on board by top chefs. We had our own waiter in each coach, of course, but what I hadn't expected was that all of us would be served at a single large dining table, which could also be used for business meetings. The 16 of us soon came to enjoy sitting together for evening meals, as these were actually more like dinner parties, with everyone in formal dress and live music as entertainment. On other journeys, apparently, they sometimes have performances of classical guitar, though on this occasion, it was violin. The next day, we traveled along a river valley with marvelous views of the mountain scenery until we reached Emerald Lake, where the train stopped for us to go on a forest trek to observe the local wildlife. There were plenty of salmon splashing about in the river, and we saw a mountain goat on a track high above us. It would have been great to have spotted a bear, but on that particular day we were out of luck. Though I'm sure I saw a wolf, and there was certainly an eagle flying overhead at one point. Back on the train, we went up and over Kicking Horse Pass, descending what is known as the Big Hill. Each of the coaches weighs 100 tons, so when the driver used the brakes to slow down, they sent up a cloud of black smoke, which was clearly visible to those of us sitting by the windows. On our last evening, we came to another remarkable sight near Lethbridge, Alberta's fourth biggest city. Looking like a giant spider's web, the mile-long bridge across the Oldman River is larger than any other of that type in the entire continent. The following morning, we arrived back in Calgary after what must surely be the most wonderful train journey in North America.
That is the end of part 2. Now turn to part 3.